miss one of the best friends you'll ever know, because Christ is one. I've worked literally around the clock, all the shifts that you can work. I've traveled where I was traveling all night. And I have never found a time that when I called upon Jesus, He wasn't there. Never found a time that He wasn't able to listen and give me the answer of what I needed. You know, there's been many of a time I was driving at night. If it wasn't for God watching over me and driving the vehicle, I would have been dead. Because I woke up and I was right in the lane where I was supposed to be, in traffic and stuff, and God was protecting me. It wasn't my skill, but it was because my hand was putting my faith and trust in that almighty hand and table to watch over each and every one of us. There's a scripture I want to read to you today, if I can even see to read it. But you'll find, this morning as I was reading this scripture, it was something come to me in a way that I've never looked at this, and I want each and every one of you, as we read this, when we get done and then go explain it, I want you to put yourself in this place. But here you'll find, in St. John, the 6th chapter, we're going to start with the 8th verse. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, "There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I read this and I was just thinking, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us where this little boy had planned to go when he left home that morning. But apparently his mother had fixed something up for him. And then when he come, where this was intended, his intention to be in this crowd, he was there and he had said and listened to what Christ had to say. And then they come the disciple and told him, wanting to know if there's any food. And his little boy must have said, "Well, I've got some." And he went back and told Christ. And there now come back unto that kid and said, "My master, he needs that." Oh, how proud he must have been. That the one he'd be listening to was going to eat the meal that was meant for him. But oh, is it good again? Christ blessing it. I don't know where the growing boy was. Where was in the disciples' head after Christ gave it to him? Or where it was when it was handed out to him? But 5,000 were filled. And did you see when he went back and took up 12 baskets full after all that? I was thinking of that this morning. That little boy, no doubt, if I was in Andrew's place, when the food started being passed out, I'd have made sure that little boy was sort of at the head of the list. Why? Because he was the one, if it wasn't for what he had and willing to give it, they wouldn't none of them ate. And you'll find her, as he was sitting there no doubt looking at that and eating, thinking, "Well, I've ate my meal many a time, but this seems to be a little better." Why, the hand of God had touched it. There were much more there than just a few loaves of bread and the fish. You and I today the little that we have, and because of that, a whole lot can't be accomplished that maybe God wants for me and you. And here, I just wonder, sitting there as that little kid, I've tried to put myself in his place and thinking, looking around and seeing everybody's eating from what I had and wondering, how can it be, just like the disciples said, what is this among so many, you and I today, God's looking down at our life, what are we giving Him of what we have? Are we depriving God of what He can take our life and bless many people with? Here they were 5,000 men that don't count the women and the children that ate of them, and still they still ended up with multitudes above what they started out with. And it don't tell us what kind of a box, bag, bucket the little boy had this in. But when I was thinking on this morning, I can just see Andrew coming to him after it was all done. Whatever that little boy had, he filled it up with the fragments that was left. That little boy went back home with far more than he come with. Why? Because he only come with the barley loaves and the fish. But he went back home totally filled. After eating, he still went home with more than he come with. And can't you just imagine when he went home and he walked into his mother and he sat down that bucket or whatever it was and he said, look what I've got. Oh, he had much more. Enough, baby, to feed the whole family. Why? Because he was willing to give what he had to the Lord, that God might use it. You and I, you know, I don't know about you, but I just think there and crying and thinking about it and just thinking how blessed I would feel to know that I was given something that Christ would be eating. He didn't think that, no doubt, when they took it, that the whole multitude would be eating. He was thinking it was for the Master. You and I today, we're not to think about what God's going to use that little bit that we've got to accomplish, but we're to give unto Him all that we have. Why? Because we need to worry about if I kill that, I won't have anything left for me. I found back years ago when God, on a Wednesday night, there was a singing group that come to church, and God told me to give them $2 I had in my pocket. That was all I had to do me on the job on the way to Friday. And I was hesitant about it, but God kept telling me, give it to her. So I did. It wasn't fun. But the very next day, beside the road, when driving a vehicle, God showed me $5 laying there, more than I give. That's the way God gives back to us if we're willing to give unto Him and not be selfish with that God's blessed us with. You know, Bible speaks about entertaining angels unaware. Me and you may have done that many times in our life. And just what is it that they think of us in the way they were treated? You know, there's a song that always touches me at Christmas time, sort of recitation, about the old man. And Christ had told him he would come and visit him. Well, three people come to his door. And he was upset at the end of the day when he had took the little child home. He come back and he wondered why God had delayed and not come. And in this story, he said, three times I came and crossed your door. three times I've failed, much more than a friend. You and I today, God is looking at our life, and how are we witnessing for Him? What are we doing for God? You know, the world today don't even believe in God a lot of times, or not a God that is real, because they've got an idea of who God is. But you know, I was thinking back over my life, and I mentioned this, I think, here Wednesday night, of the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, the things that God has blessed me to see, the prayers that I've seen answered, the miracles that I've seen performed, then the miracles on my own life, and the things that God has done for me, all because a little seed of faith, putting your faith and trust in a God who can. You know, that's the thing. Oh, it's so pitiful for the world today. They don't know about a God who can still work miracles today. They don't even think about it because nobody's willing to stand and testify and tell the truth what God has done for them because they're a little embarrassed. They're afraid somebody might think they're a little weird. Well, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind telling anybody about the things God's done for me. You know, when the doctors wanted to do exploratory surgery on me, didn't know what was the matter. I'd heard them whisper cancer, but they hadn't found anything that they could see, so they wanted to open me up because I was going downhill at an extreme fast rate. And I put my faith and trust in God. And where I couldn't even lay in a hospital bed and exist without oxygen, God blessed me and touched me on a Friday night. And I was able to take the oxygen off in just a few minutes and preach twice on Sunday. You and I today, God is still real. When Sister Claire Clemens, she's dead now, but back when I was just a young Christian, I walked into the house where she was at with my dad and another preacher. And the doctor was leaving as we got there. And he said, she don't have long. He said, when that shot wears off that I give her, she'll be dead. He said, what you're seeing there in that pan is pieces of her lungs that she's spitting up because the cancer has eat them up so. Dad went in and prayed for her. And when he got done praying, she was asleep and woke up 5 o'clock that afternoon and asked for something to eat and got up from there and lived for 15 years and did not die from cancer. Went back to work, everything fine. You and I today, that same God is still alive. He's still here. If He can take a handful of food and feed thousands, you and I, why should we worry? You know, a lot of people, they're doomsdayers, or whatever you call them, laying up because they think that, you know, everything's going to go down. We ain't going to be able to get food or nothing. Well, you know, it's only smart to try and provide for yourself somewhat. But you and I, you know, I'm so thankful. I'm serving a God. If it come down to it, God could take a little bird and feed a thousand people if it was necessary. Why? You and I, we need to put our faith and trust in one who can. God is still able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. Here is we was reading this and thinking about that. It did not only bless the people that was there. That little boy, when he went home with the food, there was other people that was blessed. And you'll find if you go on down and read in this chapter, people after sitting there and eating that, they followed Christ wanting more food. He was eager to feed them the things of the Spirit much more than He was the things of the flesh. you and I today. Isn't it wonderful to know we've got a God who's still able to feed us that we need, not only physically, but spiritually? We're living in a day and a time when church people have basically forgot what God is offering unto us. God is still asking for me and for you to give of ourselves. Christ gave all that he had, and then he asked me and you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Each and every one of us, if we're a Christian, our daily life should show it, no matter where we're at, who we're with. You know, if they're requiring something out of us or wanting us to do something that you don't feel like you should as a Christian, be bold enough to stand up and say why. You know, God said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. We need to think of that. What can man do to you? Nothing. But look what God can do for you. He does it every day. He watches over us every day. Because he don't point out the times, I'm afraid we're not as thankful as we should be. Because we don't realize the time. You know, I don't know how many of you will be going to work in the morning. But I've done heard late tonight, it's going to start freezing rain. And we may have a quarter of an inch or more of freezing rain tomorrow morning. You got to travel on the highway. You better have your faith and trust in God. Each one of us, our daily life is in the hand of God. You can think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need it. You never know. There's a Blevins man back when I was young. Come in from work, feeling fine. Sat down eating supper, feeling fine. While he was eating, he told his wife, he said, I feel a little sick. And he just pushed back from a table, went to the bathroom. And she got up to go in there to see on him. And he had the bathroom door open when she went around, because the bathroom went right off of the living room. And he was standing there holding on to the sink. And she walked around and he looked at her and she said, all he said was, I'm gone. And he just went right down into the floor. The doctor said his heart probably missed a beat at the table. That made him feel a little sick. But then, no damage. His heart just quit beating. Why? It come his appointed time to die. And after death, the judgment. Me and you, because you're feeling great right now, does not mean the death angel ain't standing at your door. But isn't it wonderful if our heart's right with the Lord, we can meet him with a shout? Because we know what awaits us is far better than anything we've ever had here. You know, I've said that many times. My mother, I don't even think that she knew that she died. I think her body thought, I just went to sleep. Because it was not a sign of a pain or nothing. She was looking at us and talking to us and laid down on the pillow. And she was gone. You and I, isn't it wonderful to know if today's our last day here on earth, our life has just begun if we're right with God. If we're truly right with God, our life has just begun. What have you given to the Lord? You know, this little boy, he was willing to give what was supposed to be for him. You know, that couldn't have been, you know, a lot of times people think of barley cakes, they might think, or a loaf, they might think, you know, oh, it's a loaf of bread like this. No. If it was for a kid, it was something small to go along with two fish. Wasn't a big lunch. It was for a kid. But look what God did with it. You and I, when God asks something of us, don't ever say no. When God called me to preach, that was one of the things that I kept saying. I can't. I was sort of a backward child. I didn't like getting up in front of people, and I kept telling the Lord because of that, I can't. If we surrender to God, we can do far more than we even thought we could. Little is much if God is in it. That's what we need to keep in our mind. God does not ask you to give some great big amount. He just asks you and I to give Him our very best. And in our life, when we stand before God, I don't care who we are, we're going to be ashamed. At our very best, we're going to not have anything to brag about. Each one of us, look at your life. Think just how, I don't want to use the word proud, because that don't sound right, but just think how glad you would be if you'd be in that little boy's place. Then when you seen what was done with it, I don't care how old that kid ever lived, I'll guarantee you he never forgot that. He never forgot it. You and I tell you, you can go back to where you give your heart and life to the Lord. It's something you'll never forget. It's an experience that the world can't imagine. You know, there's all kinds of people that think, oh, that can't be real. You know, you can make me doubt that I'm standing here before you easier than you can make me doubt that God exists and that He's real. I just, you know, God has proven Himself to me so many times. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to doubt that God exists. And when, you know, people say, oh, you're not saved by feeling. Honey, you're not. But I'll guarantee you, when you get saved, there's going to be a feeling come that you will not doubt it. You know, my dad, he said, if you're walking down the road and you got 100 pound of feed on this shoulder and 100 pound of feed on that shoulder and somebody slips up and just lifts that off of you, don't tell me you ain't going to know that the load left. He said, that's the way it was when sin was taken from him. He felt that load leave. And I know what that feels like, because it seemed like you're just floating above the floor. Your feet wasn't even reaching the floor. You felt so light. Why? Because that load of sin that was taking you to hell, God had lifted off of you and forgive you. Each and every one of us, that hand of mercy is still reaching out. And God offered forgiveness. But first of all, we got to see ourselves, Lord, that we need a Savior. And if we can't recognize that Christ is the Lord, just like we were studying in Sunday school there, they knew what Christ had done. They seen the miracle, but yet they did not want to put Him in the place where He actually belonged, and that being the Son of God. They wanted to put Him over here, and they wanted to put Him there, just like the Muslims and all the religions today. A lot of them will recognize that Christ lived. Why? Because they so much proof of it, they can't deny it, but they won't recognize Him and being the Son of God. But there's coming a time
God said every knee, that means everyone is going to bow. Everyone is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And if you don't do it here, you'll do it. But it may be in the devil's hell where it'll do you no good. And you know, Bible makes it very plain that hell is real and heaven is real. And do you realize hell was not made for me or you? It was made for the devil and his angels. But if we let the devil deceive us into thinking we're an okay person, we're going to end up right there with him. And each one of us, you know, Christ has promised us life. The devil, he can't give you anything good. You know, I was reading here in my Bible. I still got it in there. I think it was back January the 27th of 2019. Titus preached a little message. Just a kid playing. But the words he said is as good a message as anybody can preach. Why would you want to live for the devil? Jesus died for you. The devil didn't. You and I today, God is reaching out for each and every one of us and offering life unto us. And he's willing to forgive no matter what we've done. But we got to be willing to give him all of us. That little boy, give his lunch. And I guess figured he would do without, but it was such a pleasure to think that the Lord was going to be eating what was intended for him. But he ended up going home with a lot more than he come with. You and I today, you know, that's a wonderful thing about it. When God forgives you, you're never broke, though you might not have a dollar in your pocket. You're never hungry, though you might not have anything on the table to eat. God is able to satisfy your longing soul. You know, I heard a story years ago about a mother and her children. They was down, they literally had nothing to eat, and it was mealtime. Kids was wanting to know when she had them set the table and everything. And they sat down to say blessing. Heard a knock on the door. And they go open the door. Nobody there. But a box of groceries. Where it was come from a neighbor that cared. Knew they was having a hard time. They never found out. But it may have been just the angel of the Lord, because she had faith to believe God was going to supply to the point they sat down to say blessing. You and I today, God is just waiting to bless us if we'll just recognize who he is and how needy we are. While we get some song to sing, please, I beg you, be willing to give your little bit to God and see just how he can make it grow, multiply. You know, it's amazing. You ever around where somebody is making rolls or yeast bread of some sort, and how little it is when they put it in the pan or whatever, and then you see that yeast begin to take hold and how it raises and just gets so much more than you thought it was to start with. That's the same way it is with God. You turn your heart and life over to the Lord, he can just make it grow and multiply into something far greater than you ever could have dreamed of. Just because you was obedient unto him. While we sing, will you come? Are you willing to let God use you? Or are you being selfish with yourself and saying, no, not now. Not now. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next month.
Maybe next year, but not now. And the death angel knows that your time is just about up. Each and every one of us, God give us today. We have no promise of tomorrow. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Bless each and every one. Ken will come around the altar and pray with this one.